Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Congratulations, graduates. So awesome. Thankful for Justin and such a good word to speak to them and their lives and to follow the will of the Lord. So beautiful. If you have your Bible, we'll be in Psalms 37. Psalm 37. Would love for you to turn there. We'll get to the backpack. Don't worry about it, all right? We'll get there. It's not because it's grad gathering, all right? Psalm 37. This morning, I have a question. Kind of want to figure out, is there anybody in here good at this? Good at this one thing? And some of you are like, ooh, well, maybe it's something I'm good at. So my question is, who in here would say, Pastor, I am really good at resting? I mean, I am just, when you talk about someone's able to find just peace and just, ooh, I am really, really good at resting. I see some of your faces that go, I'm really not good at that. I see, just looking at you, rest. As a pastor, as a Christian, I think the church has a really big problem with rest right now. And when I say the church, I'm looking at you and me. That we struggle to rest. How do we find the rest that God has for us? In Psalm 37, it talks about being still in the Lord, resting in the Lord. Now, this psalm is a little different than the other psalms we've been studying. And this summer, we're walking through studying some, I think, 27 psalms. This one is a little different. Like last week when we studied Psalm 25, we see David, he's lamenting, he's crying out, he's struggling. We see him in the middle of agony going, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And then he looks at what's going on and he's like, oh, this is heavy. This is hard. I don't know what to do, God. I don't know. But I trust in you, God. And we see David pointing us through the Holy Spirit, going back to who God is, how God responds, how God loves, how God acts. And we see David crying out to God, going, God, I need your presence. God, I need your protection. God, please guide me. God, may there be victory in this. We've read the Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd and the Lord is my light. And we've seen this lamenting, this struggle, this prayer. Psalm 37 is a little bit different. Psalm 37 is more of a proverb, it seems, than a psalm. It's more proverb, meaning this wisdom, this discernment, telling us how to live. One commentary says, it feels like David as an older man is sharing some much-needed wisdom with the younger generation. So go with me to 37, verse 7. Here the Bible says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself. Let me read that again. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. This verse starts out, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently. Other translation, if you have the King James Version, it says, rest in the Lord. I really like the Legacy Standard Version. It says, be still. The translation, be still in Yahweh. Rest in the Lord. And then the next line says, fret not yourself. See, I think the church, you and I think myself, I've fallen for what the world The world tells us, here's how you're going to find rest. And I've found in my life, there's been many times I've taken the bait. I've fallen into the thought that the world knows how to rest. The world knows how to just relax and just get this peace. The world knows how to do it. And so I've fallen for the thought that I can find rest how the world finds rest. Thinking, if I can just get to that vacation, woo, I'm gonna find rest. And then you go to Disney World. Yeah, lots of rest there, everybody, isn't there? Go to Disney World, have rest. It doesn't happen. I think that sometimes the picture at Disney World is more important than the actual trip. If we can just show people we're in Disney World. But the thought you can find rest with vacation, or we think I can find it getting to the weekend, or if I can just get home and sit on the couch and doom scroll the night away, I will find true rest. I will find that peace. I don't think it's true. I don't think the world knows how to find rest. Why? Because we get back from the vacation more stressed than when we went on the vacation. We come into Monday from the weekend of laying it all down and being able to relax and the world, you know, whatever you need to consume to put it all down, whatever you need to take that's just going to give you that rest. And you get to Monday and you're as stressed, if not more stressed, than when the weekend came. See, I don't think the world knows how to rest. I would argue that in a society that has more vacations, more stuff, more time off, more plan to go do nothing, more retirement than ever before in the history of the world, we don't have rest. We're fighting to find it. And in the church, we've taken the bait to say, hey, I think you can find rest in those things. David, as an older man, comes and says, I want you to find what peace in the Lord really looks like. And so he says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself. See, the problem is when we go on vacation, we have to take our luggage. Ooh, we got to take stuff with us, don't it? And so what we do is we go on vacation, and you know what we don't leave behind? Fret. We take fret with us. Now, fret, what is this? Feeling really emotionally troubled. That's what fret is. That we just have this feeling, this inner feeling of trouble, this inner feeling of being tired, this emotional unrest. And in Psalm 37, this word fret. See, the Bible, in the ESV, the word fret is used 4 times. 3 of those times is right here in this chapter. If you look up at verse 1, it says, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. You think of this word fret. It means to be constantly worried or anxious. One said it this way, it's to be agitated, it's to burn hot with anger inside. It's not so much an outburst of anger, but the kind of anger that dwells in our hearts and is unseen. It stews. It causes us to sulk and to get worked up and causes us to wake up at 2 a.m. and can't shut it down for another hour and a half. Here, in the psalm, it points to rest in the Lord, but it says over and over again, to do that, you got to deal with this. To do that, you can go on vacation and try to hide it, but if this is in your heart and you just kind of bury it, it's still there. It's not leaving. And this fret because of evildoers. This fret to become envious of wrongdoers is there. One pastor said, being envious of the wicked is a real issue. This is not a hypothetical question or a theological exercise. When we think about rest, Christians finding peace in the Lord, there are massive things at stake. Because if we can't find rest, you know what that means for your life and your job and your marriage and your parenting? If we can't come back to the truth of God's word to see this is how we have to deal with things, the Lord has come to bring you peace, but you have to learn to deal with this. So again, we come to another psalm that is so practical, so real. It so applies to our life as we are people so trying to find rest. The Bible shows us how to have true rest. So let's pray and we'll dive into the truth of this passage. Lord, I pray for help. Please lead my words. Most of all, Lord, may we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to our lives, calling us to repentance, calling us to rebuilding our lives. Lord, leading us to be equipped for the work of the ministry. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read verses 1 through 11. Again, the Bible says, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, I'm going to stop and just kind of challenge you with something. As I've been reading through the Psalms this summer, I've been challenging you to read it over and over again and to see things. And as I was reading it this week, just the word the Lord kept popping up over and over again. So I had to start circling that, and I have different color pens. So I'm like, okay, we're going to take red. And just every time you see the Lord. And so maybe as I read, you'll just see how important the Lord is here. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. And forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. To find rest in the Lord, Scripture tells us we must not fret because of evil doers. We must not come to a place where we look at what other people have and look at like, they don't follow you, Lord. Why do they get that? They're not obedient to you. Lord, you see what's going on in my life and I'm trying to follow. I look over there. Lord, they mock you. Look what they have. Look at their house. Look at their car. Look at their marriage. It looks happier than mine. The Bible, so real, speaks. It says, fret not. This emotional thought. Fret not the evildoer to become jealous over what they have. Spurgeon says, to see a person utterly destitute of religion and honestly rejoicing in the abundant prosperity, it leads to questions. Why do the right struggle when the wicked thrive? Thoughts of seeing somebody and that starts to irritate you. It starts to get under your sin or get under your skin, and now you start to be tempted with sin to think, maybe if I do what they do, maybe I'll get that. And as I've said these things, maybe you're like, Pastor, it's not quite connecting. James Johnson gave some examples. I thought they were helpful. He said, like, you know, your college roommate who leaves his wife and his family and marries a beautiful young woman, and he seems happier than you are. You're a single woman who wants to get married, and your friend snags the perfect guy by sleeping with him, and you're being told you need to play the field better. Or a married woman struggling with respecting her husband, she finds a friend who is sassy and assertive and loves lighting up her husband and speaking poorly of him in front of people, and she sees her laugh and thinks, she laughs more than me. Or you're that high school student who's trying to honor the Lord and to live pure and modest and holy, but you watch the other girls who walk immorally and immodestly, and they're the ones getting the attention. You're a college kid at school, and you're working so hard, and you know the other kid cheated and passed, yet you are struggling to get by. We can talk about work. We can talk about social media. When you look at their picture and go, look at them. So one pastor said, comparing and coveting and competing combine to form a deadly process. There's a warning here. It says if you're a Christian believer and you sit back and look and you start to compare, you start to covet, and then in our culture, well, we love to compete, right? We look and compete and go, well, if I can just have better than they do. So you go on your Disney trip, and what do? You get your picture, and you look up. Stop yelling. They need to at least look like we're happy. Smile. Okay. And you compete. It all comes back to fretting. It all comes back to this emotion that there is trouble in your soul because you're trying to compare. You're trying to catch up. And the Lord here is saying, listen. You look at the world. You don't need to be jealous of the world. And here the Bible teaches us some things. How do we deal with this? What do we do with this? There are these warnings throughout the entire Bible. Like in Luke 21 in the Gospels, Jesus says, but watch yourself lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Or to say it differently, that your minds are dulled from carousing and from worries of everything that goes on. In Mark, Jesus tells us that there will be some who will miss the relationship with the Lord because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the desire for things in this world will skew them away from the Lord. So here, as one commentary says, the wise man must carefully watch his response to the wicked, because if not, it can eat your soul. You can miss that peace in the Lord. And so what the Bible does is it shows us how to walk the scripture. David, as this older man speaking, in verse 2, he says, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. When Pastor said it this way, to work through fret, to work through that anxiety of looking and not being envious of the world, we must see the whole picture. We must see here, the Bible says throughout this chapter, that sin does not succeed. Sin brings death. So in Proverbs 24:19, it says, fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future. And the lamp of the wicked will be put out. It's seeing the whole picture throughout this chapter. You can look at verse 9, it says, the wicked will be destroyed. Verse 10, they will be no more. Verse 20, they will perish and will fade away like the smoke. Listen, church, Satan is a liar. He wants you to see things to think, if I could get that, then I'll have rest. If I could just have that, then I'll have, if I could just get there, he's a liar. So our scripture brings us to say, see the whole picture. See that whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. That sin that you think can hide, it'll make you sick. In the next couple weeks, we're going to study David, who gives us the perfect example of trying to hide sin. He reached out and goes, that's what's going to give me rest. That's what's going to give me peace. And he sins against the Lord and he does everything he can to hide it. And yet he speaks at how it eats away at his soul. To know the truth is so important when it comes to looking at this world. David, as this older man, has seen it and he knows it. And he so loves people, and through the Spirit, he's speaking to their lives, going, listen, this sin, this life of sin is going to wither away like grass. Some of us who are older, listen, I look at some of you high school kids, will you listen to me? Satan is a liar. He will lie to you. You can look out at your school and look at what they're doing in those relationships and say, you know what? I know what the Lord has called me to, but they sure look like they're having more fun. Now, we who are older, we sit back and go, yeah, I know what happens in that. We sit back and we see the hurt. You can come in here and talk with lots of people that go, yeah, I thought that's what the fun was when I was in high school. Let me tell you about what it brought. And we can sit back older going, we love you enough. May you see the whole picture that what God has for you is way better. And I know that's hard and difficult. But just as some of us, as we look at high school kids, no matter what our age, there's the temptation to miss the whole truth of God. There's a temptation to fall to the lie of sin, going, I think if I do this, my way will be a little bit better than the Lord's way. And it's a lie. The fret of comparing and coveting and competing, it's killing us. And we can't fall to the lie of this world going, but yeah, but if you can just get to that retirement, it'll fix it all. It won't. It's still there. If you can just get to that next job that will give you, it'll all work out. No, it won't. Why? Because it's still there. Titus 2, 11 and 13 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us up. There's this training to what? Renounce ungodliness and worldly passion. There's this battle to do that and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the whole picture is those of us who know Christ, we look forward to the coming of the Lord. We know it to be real and to be true. We look forward to Christ coming back. We look to what Christ did on the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It calls us to look to Jesus as the example. What did he do? He goes to the cross. And some, as we'd look, we go, man, this is, he has lost. This is awful. And Jesus says, no, I see the whole picture. And the whole picture is that Christ saw salvation. Christ saw that for mankind, we may be saved. He is our example to see the whole. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Go with me down to verse 7 again. To find that rest, to deal with the fret in our life. We must see the whole picture, but we must seek rest in Him. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. I love what one pastor said. He said, we can only get to this place by following the path David has led us down in these verses. We need to first decide that we can trust God and believe in His promise. We must delight in Him. We must commit our paths to Him and let Him carry our cares and concern. Then we will be able to be still. What this author is saying, he's taking us back to verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. He's saying to get to a place where we are still before the Lord, peaceful before the Lord. Verse 3, we must trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now you may be sitting there going, Pastor, I don't know how to, you want me to just like, I'm going to try to trust, right? What do you want me to do? I hope you'll see as we've studied the book of Psalms, David, as he cries out to God in these horrific places, isn't always one that has it all figured out, isn't one that always has it all together. You see him going, Lord, I don't know what to do. I just need your help. We see him cry out to God, God, help me to trust in you. And you see David over and over again going back to who the Lord is, how he acts, how he loves. And I hope you'd come to a place of going, Lord, I don't always have it together, but I sure believe in you and need you, and I need your help. And so finding this peace is knowing the whole study, the whole story, but it is also seeking the Lord. It's trusting him. And what does that look like? It's doing things that he's called you to do. It's when you look at the situation and go, man, I don't know how I'd handle it, but I know how God handled it. It's trusting the Lord and going, okay, I'm going to follow how God wants me to handle it. It's in this marriage and how I feel and what I want to do. Is that what I should do? How would the Lord want? I'm going to trust the Lord in this one, and I'm going to follow him how he wants me to handle it, how he wants me to be a wife, how he wants me to be a husband. This is trusting the Lord. If you can skip down to verse number 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord. In the Hebrew, the commit your way just means to roll. Like it literally means to roll. It's like to roll the burden upon the Lord. It's to look and go, I can't even pick up this burden. I'm just trying to roll it to the Lord. To cast my cares to the Lord. Here you'll find rest. As I work through this passage, it's very personal for me. I will tell you from Easter, I have really struggled to find rest. I've really struggled to recover from Easter. It's our Super Bowl season and just the weight of that. And yeah, I've done many of them, but this year in particular, it's just been a struggle spiritually and mostly physically to just get back and go, okay, I'm ready again. I've struggled to find that. A few weeks ago, I was in a growth community on Wednesday night and sitting there and we're doing our Bible study. And I just thought, man, I cannot wait to get home. It just felt like the Lord just stirred something in me and just went, why? Why do you want to go home? You think hitting that couch and doom scrolling is going to, you're going to find it there? Just remember the Lord's story and go, this is what you love to do. This is your passion. You love sitting with people and talking about God's word and me. What's wrong? It was just the Lord, so kind, just opening up my heart going, hey, I think you've fallen into the wrong place of trying to find rest in the wrong thing. You know where you're going to find rest? In me. You will find rest in seeking me and being with me. And it was just a wonderful few days of just going, the Lord is where you will find rest. You won't find it in the retirement. You won't find it in the vacation or on the couch at night, where you will truly find peace and joy. And it may be working hard is in resting in God and being where he wants you to be. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We've heard this verse used so many times out of context and people go, hey, as long as you go, Lord, I like you, he's going to give you all the stuff you want. And it's like, no, you didn't read the chapter at all. The chapter is saying all that stuff is not what's going to give you hope and joy and peace. It ain't there. Where it's going to be is with the Lord. It's delighting in him. And if you know the Lord, maybe you're struggling in that. Can I encourage you? Take some time and say, Lord, may I grow in delighting you. May I grow in delighting who you are and to be with you. To challenge you on your way to work, turn off the radio, turn off the dumb podcast, and just put on the book of John and just listen to how good God's love is. Just listen to who Jesus is. Just play the book of John. Sorry for insulting your podcast. But it is dumb. To find the rest is when we move to the action of trusting him, to doing good, to delighting in him, to committing our ways to the Lord. It'll lead us to rest. It'll lead us to patiently wait on him. There's so much here. You can go down to verse 8. It says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. And if anger is controlling your soul, what do you got going on? How do you run back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help? One said, anger and resentment and jealousy destroy faith in God's goodness and justice and affect one's inner attitude toward everything. So this morning, just a challenge for you. Go take a vacation with the Lord. You'll find rest in the Lord. Don't fall for the lie of this world. Some of you are going to go home and go, Pastor, speaking against vacation and retirement says they're evil. No. But if you place them in the place of the Lord, they are evil. If you place them in a place of what's going to bring you peace and rest, it's going to steal your joy, not give it to you. That's why it'll lead you to a place to go, man, serving in the church, I don't have the energy or the time to do it. No, if you find rest in the Lord, you'll find some energy, you'll find some life to serve the Lord. Get up on a Sunday and go, man, I just need to rest this Sunday. You do. Right here, together. Satan's a liar. So the Bible calls us to rest in him. Listen, if you're here this morning and You've heard me talk about being a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you're here, and if you were honest with your soul and with those around you, you would say, I'm not really a follower of Jesus. I've never really given my life to the Lord. I've never really, maybe you did a baptism or maybe you said a prayer one time, but if you were honest, you haven't given your life to the Lord. Can I tell you, he's the only place you're going to find rest. Christ came to the cross, came to this world and went to the cross because our sin separates us from God. Christ came because of my sin, and Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty, took the wrath of God for me on the cross that I may be saved, that I may have peace with God. And the Bible says if you will confess your sin and you will ask Jesus simply, Jesus, be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. Save my life. The Bible says he will. That is the peace of God. And as we walk this life as a Christian, we continue to seek his peace, knowing that he will return, knowing one day there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, but also knowing Christ is with us and in us. May we learn to rest in the Almighty God. I'm going to ask the worship team if you guys will come. They're going to lead us in one last song of worship. We have a baptism. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. May we truly seek our rest in you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.